Market View on Money FM 89.3.
Well, we're just a couple of days before Christmas and also the end of 2019. And to say that it's been a relatively volatile year and a bit of a harrowing year for economy watchers in Singapore might have been an understatement. We did see we did see worries that the economy would fall into a technical recession in the middle of the just a couple of months ago, and we did see them avoid that by the skin of their teeth. In fact, the outlook for 2020 seems to be getting a little bit better among economists surveyed by the MAS, who think that there might be a subtle and slow recovery, at least for the local economy, on signs of thawing U.S.-China trade relations and a possible pickup in the manufacturing space. Well, is this going to be the case? Well, today on Prime Time, to help us with our look ahead at what the economy might face in 2020, we're joined by Mr. Song Seung-woon. He's the chief economist for CIMB's private banking unit, and he joins us on the line today to share his thoughts with us. Mr. Song, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Good afternoon.
My pleasure.
So, Mr. Song, I do want to get your view of what the economy is going to look like next year. The outlook seems to be getting a bit better, according to some of your peers. They're saying it's down to easing U.S.-China trade tensions and other signs of a broader economic pickup. In your opinion, do you think this is a valid view? What is your opinion on where the economy might be heading next year?
Well, I suppose in line with the consensus, I think that's generally the view being held by our central bank and other central banks around the region and the world as well. Modest recovery, although it may not be a very strong one heading into 2020, primarily because risk remains in focus. And while we may be cheered by this interim trade deal itself, lots in the detail to be, announced and the deal to be actually signed before we move on to part two itself. And so much remains to be seen in terms of how things pan out, but at least the fear of a further escalation, full tariffs on all sides, at least have been off the table for now. And there's a little bit of clarity on the Brexit side as well. So yes, risk to growth has continued to materialize, but we managed to avert a recession in the U.S. and around here in Singapore as well. So fingers crossed, because we see tentative signs of bottoming out in the manufacturing cycle, especially for the tech sector itself.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Mr. Song, because this is another thing that some of your peers and you yourself have said, that there is a bottoming out of the manufacturing tech space.
Indeed.
Manufacturing,
indeed.
Still about 20% of our entire GDP at the moment. Mm. But how... can you elaborate on what kind of signs you're seeing of a possible pickup, especially because there are still concerns that we might still see a bit of a slowdown in the global economy, which could impact manufacturing too?
Indeed.
Can you tell us what signs you're seeing that there is a bottoming out?
I suppose the key thing really is that manufacturers, chip makers are seeing some stability in demand. Actually, as we speak, I think Micron just came through with its earnings itself and guidance, and I think it said relatively similar thing in terms of a pickup. They see prices on the DRAM side stabilizing, bottoming out itself. New product likely to see a pickup in chip sales itself. I think earlier in the week itself, we have Broadcom, who also say similar things as well. So it does look like, you know, after a year of, more than a year of sustained decline itself in demand, in prices, there is some indication that some stability is coming back. On the flip side, we're also seeing chip makers seeing a pickup in the sales of equipment as well. So I suppose, put the two together, we've got companies who are seeing things stabilizing, chip makers also saying similar words as well. So, and we are also starting to see, I suppose, dollar value of exports in terms of, say, our chip sales for the last 2 months being in the highest for many months itself. So I think that's slightly encouraging. Obviously, much can still happen, but we take any signs of green shoot in strike.
All right. We're still speaking to Mr. Song Seung-won, economist for CIMB. Mr. Song, I want to focus on another sector that seems to have gotten a few flags raised on it. I'm sure you've noticed some of the articles about a possible property glut that started to form, about 32,000 units that have not been sold in the markets. The pipeline still grows, and it's causing some developers to start to sweat. Now, the property sector itself here, could this actually lead to some long-term problems for the economy if the glut continues to build and maybe even have a jarring feedback on GDP? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you said a property developer starting to sweat. I haven't sweat enough to cut prices. So I think that's really the key. If there is a very simple economics, if there's more supply than demand itself, you cut prices and you see whether things move or not. But obviously at this juncture, developer wants to have the cake and eat it as well. So I will have to wait and see, because much will really depend on the underlying state of the economy itself, not just in Singapore, because most of the buyers are resident Singaporeans here itself, a handful and a small percentage from around the region. So if Singapore and the region continue to stay on course for stable, although modest growth going forward, but more importantly, labor market condition here, although has softened a little bit, continue to hold up, then I would say prices will likely still remain stable. Only thing is whether specific projects that are being launched will do well, etc. as well. I mean, from here, I look out my window and I see a couple of projects which have been on block, being redeveloped, being torn down and going to be redeveloped in the coming year itself. And that is adding on to the supply part of the 40,000, I think, coming on in the next few years itself. Whether we did this cut cost and knock-on impact on construction and GDP is really, I would say, it depends on the state of the economy, depends on whether developers are willing to cut prices to move property itself. If we were to see the downturn, so-called the excess supply, coincide with, let's say, a recessionary condition, then I would say, yes, perhaps the policymakers will come in and step to help stabilize the property market. But at this juncture, I think it's a bit premature for any policy to be sort of a tweak just because developers feel a bit uneasy. The supply may be coming on a bit strong, but they are still not willing to talk about cutting prices just yet.
All right, fair enough. One question I have also, Mr. Song, is about how big a deal the budget's going to play heading into next year, especially for our GDP. We are heading into an election year,
and there are
also a number of monetary policy authorities across the world, the Fed, the ECB. They've all said that the fiscal side of the balance needs to do more to help prop up economic stimulus. Right. How big a deal do you think is the budget going to be heading into next year, given some of these pressures? And what are you expecting, at least?
Yeah.
What role do you think it's going to play with regards to the GDP makeup for 2020 here in Singapore?
We're pretty straightforward here in terms of fiscal and monetary policy complement each other during when we need to. You know, fiscal policy and monetary policy works more aggressively together, especially if private consumption and the private sector pull back investment and spending and hiring itself. Are we seeing signs of that? We are seeing private sector pulling back on hiring, a little bit more cautious about hiring, but they're still hiring selectively. And indeed, we saw that in GDP, for instance, growth, we managed to avert the recession. Hiring had slowed down, unemployment rate creeping up a little bit. I think the last couple of years, we already have seen government taking a more expansionary stance on the budget front, i.e. spending more than it collects itself. And we're likely to see that policy stance continue, i.e. in the coming 2020 budget in February, the government spending more than it collects itself, probably in the region of around sort of 1+% of our GDP, essentially because the economy is still going to show modest growth rather than no growth. I think that's kind of stance we'll see in the, unless obviously in the coming months going into 2020, global macro outlook take a turn for the worse, and then we may have to talk about supplementary budget later on in the year. But at this juncture, we got modest growth this year, somewhere around 1% itself, maybe around 1.5% or so next year. So just a mildly expansionary budget would be handy. And election years tend to coincide with a slightly more generous government. Well, that's happened all the time, anywhere and everywhere itself. So if since the economy averted a recession last year and government finance did reasonably well itself, there's probably a little bit of mini ang pao in the budget after Chinese New Year anyway.
All right, we'll watch out for how what role this will play for the economy next year. That's Song Sim Woon, Chief Economist for CIMB Private Banking. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Primetime.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.